in order to make a change from the intellectual conscious awareness level to having the experience, you have to become a different person. In order for you to make a fundamental change, get past this.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast, where we explore what it means to create a truly exquisite life. I'm your host, Amira Alvarez, inviting you to be part of these intimate conversations about feminine ambition, what lies beyond traditional notions of success, and how to answer the question, what's next when you've already achieved so much? Let's dive in. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unstoppable Woman podcast. I'm Amira Alvarez. I'm your host here on the podcast and also the founder and the CEO of the Unstoppable Woman, where we help super ultra successful women have exquisite lives, not just success in their business, but their whole lives. Okay, so what are we doing today? We have a series where I am coaching some entrepreneurial friends of mine, friends and colleagues of mine, and today is one of those episodes. And I am thrilled to have on the show today a woman that I call my friend. Her name is Jade Green, and I'm going to let her introduce herself in just a moment, and we are going to be doing a coaching call. So listen up. I hope you get a lot out of this. And Jade, welcome to the call.
Thank you so much for having me on, Amira. I am terrified and excited at the same time.
I love it. So can you, that's a good place to be. For the listeners, can you share a little bit about who you are and give them some context on your business so that they have a sense of who they're speaking to and the type of woman who is getting this coaching?
Okay, beautiful. I think what will really resonate with your audience is the way that I kind of identify myself in the world. So I share with everyone that I feel like I'm equal parts tomboy, girly girl, and entrepreneur. And for some people, they kind of get a little confused about what's going on, because you'll see me skateboarding down the street wearing a beautiful dress. You'll see me being hard charging badass in business and like just really stepping it up. They say that I have a fluffy baseball bat that I tap my clients in the right direction of where they need to go. And sometimes I get back more fluff, less bat. And then I will finish for the day and I'll want to drop right back into my feminine and want to be looked after by the masculine and be able to sit into my feminine. And it's really that dichotomy of the personality that, you know, sometimes the outside don't really get. So I'm hoping that this story is going to resonate with the type of women that you work with. In terms of what I do in the world, though, I am a high-performance business coach. I'm more identified as a consultant, because I'm more of a person that comes in and fixes the people problems for fast growth businesses so that they can grow sustainably. So if they're struggling to attract world-class talent, retain their superstars, or maximize their productivity and profitability out of each of their people, then they bring me back in to look at those areas. So I get to be really juicy in that, because I can look at the whole human within someone. So you'll hear me talk a lot about like, who is the human inside of the person that's doing things? So that's a little bit about who I am.
Okay. I love it. So fantastic. And I think that is a great description of you. And I know that a lot of the women who are listening will really, really resonate with that, because so much of the time we have to show up in our masculine to sort of get the work done, be on target, be on track, be focused, be disciplined. And we can run circles around so many people when we're in our sort of uber competent, uber masculine side. And then you get home and you're like, oh, what happened to the rest of me? So that's a conversation we've had a lot on this podcast. So hopefully the listeners will be like, oh, yep, I recognize that. So, okay. For today, though, we are going to dive into something that is up for you right now. So the best way to approach this is to think about a current challenge that you're experiencing, either in your professional life or in your personal life, both work, and then we'll go from there. So is there something that's really like present for you right now that you're, you know, maybe it's, I don't want to lead the witness. Thank you. Yes. So I'm going to hand that over to you.
Okay, so what comes up for me when you say that? Like, you'll also, audience, if you're watching, you'll see me look off. If you see me look off, I'm getting downloads. So I'm not looking at other people. I'm getting a download from somewhere. And the words that were hitting me from over here was slow down to speed up, slow down to speed up. But then from directly above, it was no, talk about the fear. So the fear is using my story in my work. And it is leaning back into being a more holistic coach rather than a, oh, sorry, Miranda, you might make, but we said we're going to, not going to make me cry till later. More into being a holistic coach, less of a business consultant. And that there's a bit of a story about that because I used to do more of that. You know, I think you and I have talked about my Mindvalley background. My story comes more into it if I'm looking at things at that level versus just coming in and, you know, building recruitment funnels and onboarding solutions and productivity hacks.
Yeah. Do you know why this is coming up for you right now? Like, what's driving the query, the inquiry?
What's really driving it is I actually went to a Brendon Burchard growth day last week. And the people that I were with going, this should be you. And then I was like, well, that's going back into, that would be leaning on my story, not staying focused on doing business consulting. And it's kind of like I'm at a crossroads right now. I have this awesome opportunity. As you know, I've accidentally moved to the US. The contract that I first brought on to come out, which was full business consulting, is just about to come to fruition. And it's time to make a choice. And I've been gifted some opportunity to drop back into kind of my Mindvalley side of things and to really look at who is the person that I want to serve. And some platforms have come up, but that's the fear is like, oh,
yeah,
that's really showing all of me. Whereas, you know, when you're in business consulting, you can stay behind the tactics and just give a shit.
Done. Yeah, the mask, right? The mask,
yeah.
Absolutely. So let's take a step back from that for just a moment. So good on you for like owning that query, right? It's having gone through that recently, I understand not that specific decision, but having to choose what I truly wanted to focus on in my my work, I understand how daunting that feels, okay? So the place that I'd love to start with you here is, when you think about your greatest desires in life, not the practicalities like, is this business going to work? Is this what I really want to be doing? We could get there, okay? Mm-hmm. Those are useful questions. But going to even like a more meta level, a higher level, what are your true desires in life? Like, if you could have that piece filled for you, what is that piece? What is the true thing that you're yearning for?
Absolute honest truth is that I'd say it's a longing. That's what the feeling feels like. It feels like a longing to do life together with my partner. And life means, maybe for some reason I felt like there's some sort of business link in that together, whether that's together in specifically in a business or contributing to each other's businesses, but there's some sort of crossover. There's some sort of merging. There's some sort of crossover that's in there. Traveling the world, like we know that it's very hard to keep me still for very long at a time. But being able to travel with my partner, oh, interesting, and be proud of them and have them this. Language is terrible, but the language for me is a station above me. Everything's always been on me. And in, whether it be decisions, whether it be paying bills, whether it be whatever, none of my ex-husband's not going to hear this. But I want to look to them and be proud and inspired and be able to turn to them for advice and guidance and inspiration so I don't have to do it alone.
Yeah. Okay, I love that. So if I were to paraphrase that back, you want to be partnered with someone who you are extremely proud of, that you can turn to, that they're a reliable structure in your life. They're mm-hmm. stable enough to be someone you can turn to, which to me means you respect them. You respect their decision-making ability, their way of thinking, their logic, all of that, how they show up as a human in this world. And the station above you, is that they have an established income stream that is at a higher level than you. And I'm going to pull back the PC BS, okay? Because I might offend people, but I don't buy into it. I think that there's something I worked with one client and I was very clear, like she needed to be dating a billionaire. You know, I'm like that she like she had multiple successful businesses, and if she was going to fully be connected with someone, she needed to be dating, partnered with someone further up above her. Now, she made a different decision and it's worked out, but beautifully, okay? And that was a huge transformation for her to be able to be in relationship and partner with someone. Because when you're in your masculine all the time, driving hard in a business, it's you know, getting into a relationship can be challenging. So I get that. It's not always what it equates to is not always money, though. Okay. So money is shorthand for I want someone who treats me like a queen, treats me, takes care of me, right? Is I can relinquish the need to take care of myself when I come home. And is that more like what you mean by a station above?
Yeah. Okay. A station above is, it's probably more about how they see it as well, in terms of, I don't want to default. Like if I tell you to, the decision is yours, just make the decision. I don't want to be defaulted to. I want to be able to ask for advice and not second guess, like do they actually know what they're talking about? Have they ever researched it? Like that they, do you know what I mean? That I'm confident in the advice that they've got and they've walked the path. It is also about the way they look at wealth. And I like the queen thing because I always say I want to be the queen to my king. I don't want to feel like if something happens, I'm going to have to be the one that get out there and make more money to pick up the pieces or pay for the things. And I like living my epic lifestyle, and I find it very unattractive if I'm out doing things and my partner is nickel and diming over the price of how much the freaking sashimi is. Or, do you know what I mean? I don't want to be having to, like, oh, don't worry, babe, I'll get it because I want to eat the sashimi. Or I literally had this example once, like like the guy's loaded, but I want to be my first client in the US when I first came out here, and I wanted to celebrate for dinner. And he was like, well, I'm not drinking tonight. And I'm like, well, I'm having champagne because I'm celebrating. Like, and I literally said, I will pay for it myself. I don't ever want to, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's just
okay. Yeah. So you're very clear. What's stopping you from having that?
I used to have a script running in my head that I was not that. So either I was, you know, at my age, the men in my dating prospects would be wanting either a trophy wife, so more younger, more beautiful, you know, all of those things, trophy wife things, or they'd want someone more successful than me, with bigger businesses and bigger accolades and bigger things. And that I was in this in-betweener where, you know, a lot of guys say they're too intimidated by you. So you've ruled out, those ones have ruled themselves out. This is why I say a station above, because a whole bunch of them just take themselves out. They're like, I Googled you, you're intimidating. I'm like, who Googled someone first, firstly? And I'm the least intimidating person ever. But I felt like I was in that, you know, that in-betweener land. And I've done a lot of work over the last year to change that, and I'm definitely leveling up. Though I'm making better choices now.
Does that still play out for you? Because that is a belief that says, whoever I am, whatever I do, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to be chosen. You said I've been working on that. Is that still playing out for you?
So what it is, and also I just didn't have the exposure to what I really wanted, I don't think, about. So it's until coming out to the US and now actually being around, and I've gone and put myself in the places to have the exposure and opened up myself to say, actually, I am available and I'm open. So the up-leveling has been rapid. So I think that's going away now. There's always still work to do.
So what's present right now that's stopping you?
Right now what's stopping me is I've always had a feeling also that because I am so fluid, I can travel the world. I don't have children. I can go wherever I want to. And what stopped me from knuckling down and building my next business has been that I believe that I'm going to meet my man and I will kind of assimilate into his life. So as you can tell, relationship is my highest value. I loved being married and we didn't end up badly or anything like that. And I don't feel like I'm the fullest expression of myself when I can't be a loving partner. And that is something that is a high value of mine. And I think I used to be ashamed to say that. And now I'm to sit in my feminine, I'm really confident to go, that's what I really want. Like, I can build businesses. I know I can knuckle down, grind it out, smash out another business. Like, that's not too difficult, right? If I choose that was my number one priority. But finding my love relationship is my number one priority. And which has hindered me on knuckling down to build my next business and to scale, because I don't want to pick a location and grind, and I don't want to go too far back into my masculine and focused and not be open to possibility. So that's been a script that's been running. But now, because I've had some opportunity come my way, deciding the pathway, like what is the business I am happy to build that still allows me the freedom.
Yeah, and this is why I intuitively said, let's put a pin in the original question. Is it leaning back towards the life coaching versus the business consulting, or the business coaching for the coaching versus the business consulting? And I was like, let's put a pin in that, because that doesn't feel like energetically the actual issue in question that's up. And the question that's really up for you is this yearning, this longing to be in partnership, to be in an actual relationship, because that's where you thrive the best. And you're actually putting your business secondary to that, which is fine. There's no right, wrong judgment there whatsoever. But if we need to figure out the partnership first, and then we need to figure out the business, okay? Oftentimes, let me go a little meta with you. Oftentimes, women come to me with like, this is my dilemma. Do I do this or do I do this? And that's not really, like, we could solve that problem, but we'll have to solve that again in 3 months and 6 months and 9 months and 12 months until we solve the real challenge that's in front of you, which is finding the partnership, right? Being in partnership. And when we solve that, then that's going to play out the answers to all these other things. Am I saying put your business on hold? Absolutely not. Okay. Don't do that. But I don't know that now is the correct time to make a big shift from business consulting to coaching, if in fact what you really want to do is let's leave the business consulting going as is. It's jamming, you're doing great with that. And let's find the partnership and see how that unlocks all these other things in your life and your business, right? Does that make sense?
Just for clarification, like, it wouldn't be a full switch. I'd stay in business and look, like, I'm not going full life coach or what to be a complete split. And what I think is I need to find, it's because I feel untethered when I don't have a solid direction. And this is, as you know, like the high achiever, like if you're not like got something that you're working at, and I feel like I need to figure out what is the for now that I can keep tethered to and focused on building while being open And I'm scared that if I take some of these other opportunities, I go hardcore into the business and close the door.
Close the door to what?
The opportunity. If I go too focused on, say, the business opportunities or staying focused on the business, that, yeah, I'm...
It feels like that is a story that you're telling yourself to keep yourself in confusion. And when there's confusion, there's a lie. So the lie that I feel like you're locked into, you're circling around, is like that I'm going to make a mistake. Like that if I do this thing, that there's no going back. And that's just not true. Okay. You have a bunch of business opportunities right now. Go take them. Okay. Go play those out. They're in front of you. They're not going to close other doors to you. If in 3 months and 6 months and 9 months, you decide you want to open this other door to this other type of coaching versus consulting, it's an easy play. Okay. It's an easy shift. Right now, it feels like it's a distraction from building a relationship, going in and manifesting, creating, drawing in, attracting the relationship that's going to have you thriving. Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I think at the root of it, it comes down to my soul-sucking search for significance. And I tie my significance to my work output and my ability to outwork, outshine, outdo. And I feel most safe when I'm in action and delivering and building. And I do feel scared about making the right decision right now because everything's always been on me and I can't depend on anyone else. I've got no one else to fall back on. And I'm the matriarch of my family. So, you know, I have people back in Australia that I'm like, it's on me. So I do feel like I need to make the right decisions because of, you know, I've made the choice to, I still have obviously some clients back in Australia, but I'm not building the Australian business. I'm here. And I need to make a choice of where I'm going to go in that direction. And I don't want to spend another 5 years building something that isn't what I truly want to do just for the money. But I don't feel safe if I'm not got a direction that I'm working towards and seeing momentum kicking over.
So what do you really want to do?
I know, I really want to be doing my big live events and going down that path and building that. But I want to be building it with my someone.
Hey there. I just want to take a quick moment and ask, what's the thing holding you back from your own success? The hidden shadow or saboteur potentially at play for you? And do you know how to find it? We often have that one thing keeping us from our next level. And it's not always the strategic move. It's often the internal one. I found in my own journey of success in building my exquisite life, it's what I call a core wound or loyalty pack. What's that? I share more at theunstoppablewoman.com, right on the homepage. Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now, let's get back to our episode. So let's go make that happen instead of some temporary placeholder, okay? So it's very clear that that's what you want. I would go build that with space held for a significant other to do this with you, okay? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put it on hold. How can I say this differently? I want you to live and work and build this live event business with the assumption, using the law of assumption, with the assumption that it's with someone. Okay. I realize today, this moment, if we get off this call, there is not a someone right there that you're building it with, but you have a powerful tool at your disposal, which is your imagination. Okay. So you can imagine building it with someone. Okay, you've already described that to me, correct? Okay, and so you got a little teary-eyed because you saw the business that you wanted, and then you're like, "But I don't have that yet." Okay, stay in the imagination, stay in the seeing it. Okay, does that make sense? Just that part. We'll keep going. That's not the end, but yeah. Okay, so the biggest thing you can do right now to create what you desire is to start seeing it as you desire it. Okay, start seeing it in your mind's eye as you want it. Now, you do this with all sorts of things that are less significant to you. Okay, you do this with the ersatz business, the placeholder business. Okay, you could envision the this and envision the that and see it all out, right? I want you to do it with the things that matter and lean into the discomfort that you feel with the gap between, wait a second, Amira, you're telling me to imagine all of this, but I don't, but look over here, reality is in my face showing me that that's not the case. There's a gap there, okay? But I want you to continue to imagine it, okay? Do you have a meditation practice or some sort of quiet practice that you do to come back to yourself?
Yeah, I have a couple. So being that I'm Mind Valley trained, I teach the six phase meditation, which has a number of the different areas. At the moment, our friend Narelle and I are doing a book study on the book Magic. So we're going through a gratitude practice. So we're going through that each day and then dropping into the meditation. But when I'm in between things, I have my third space, which is simple belly breathing, regulating the breath and returning to level set and to close all the tabs that are open in the brain.
Okay, great. I love it. So what I'd love for you to do is that when you do your presencing practice, when you do whatever brings you back to a grounded, connected, whole, open space, I want you then to segue into imagining the business and the life with this partner. Okay. I love to do that pen to paper. Okay. I like to do it writing, so that I slow down my brain enough to get it out and I'm not distracted by lots of different thoughts, because, you know, even in my best meditations, there's that thought, right? So, you know, that helps me. I hope that's a useful tip for you. But like, slow it down, write it out, and keep, I love to do this in meditation. So I'll get into a meditative state and then I'll start envisioning what I desire, or I'll do it in a meditative walking state. And this I can't write at the same time, but the walking really helps that ADD that I have, where the next thought and the next thought and the next thought comes and I'm like, suddenly I'm down this rabbit hole over here when I'm really want to be focused over here. So I will get myself into a meditative state and then walk, and I will use what I call procedural memory, which is like, this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to, and then I'll hit like some roadblock. Okay. I'll hit this place where like, but how am I going to meet that man? Or what is this? Like, he's not going to have this, or I'm going to have to pay for this sashimi again. Oh, right? Something in the imagination comes up that's not aligned with what we desire. You just pause and you work it out. You use that problem solving skill that you have so well dialed in. You go, okay, that would be solved like this. And then you do it again. You do this procedural memory. Okay. And you play it out and until you like see the whole thing coming into clarity. Does this make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what this does is that it sends a directive to your subconscious and it's like, oh, this is where we're going. This is who I am and this is how I'm living. And what gets to happen then is that you become more aware of things that you were not aware of before. It's like you take the blinders off and your subconscious doesn't know the difference. You know this, doesn't know the difference between something that's real and something that's imagined. So you're sending a new directive that's it's an imagination, but your subconscious doesn't know the difference. So it thinks you're living this. So then it's going to get you to pay attention to all the things that are here right now in this reality that you have tuned out to because you keep saying, I'm living like this instead of like this. Okay. So we're choosing to walk down this path And then opportunities start coming into focus, and you're going to get downloads and hits and direction, and you follow that. Okay, let me pause there. Make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
Okay.
So, because what I heard there is make the unfamiliar familiar. Mm-hmm. So by doing the visioning and the future pacing, you're making the unfamiliar familiar, because our brain doesn't know the difference between what is reality and what is imagination. And by doing that and looking at the opportunity, we're programming our RAS, our reticular activated system, to look for opportunities that we may have had the blinders on for. So we're opening up our field of view so that we can grab the things to bring things more to us.
And it's becoming the woman that you want to be, okay? In your imagination, you're having the experience in your imagination before you're having it in your lived experience, okay? Mm. And then the next thing then is to actually have it as a lived experience, okay? But you're like, but Amira, I don't have the man, right? Like, where is this lived experience going to be? And that's where I think it's important to like get super, super clear on who you're looking for. And, you know, I did a lot of work on, and you've met my man, manifesting the love of my life. And
I only met your man. I hired your man.
I know, he's good, isn't he? Yep. I love that.
He's fabulous.
Yeah. You know, I did a lot of work to move through my sense of unlovability. Like, I had a core wound around being unlovable, and that I had to have a fairly significant lived experience, actual reality experience of I got very clear on what I desired, who I desired, what I wanted that to be. I imagined it in my meditative state over and over and over again. It was so real. And then I met someone whom I thought was the one, okay? And I had to have a lived experience in reality of being engaged energetically, emotionally with someone, but not feeling loved, not feeling, having all my core wounds come up again. And I had to move through that core wound, through that lived experience, to then and say enough is enough on that in order to manifest the actual love of my life. And I wouldn't have been able to manifest this amazing, exquisite relationship that I'm incredibly grateful for living and having and experiencing if I hadn't gotten clear on exactly what I wanted, set that worthiness scale high enough, if you will, in my lived imagination, in my meditations, and then been confronted by a choice in my real day-to-day 3D world that said, are you going to succumb to this? Are you going to lower yourself to this level? Or is this okay? Is this worthiness level okay? And I tried to justify it, you know, always to, I don't know what that expression is, but like all the different ways, okay? And it was months of trying to justify it. And finally, I moved through it. And the moment I moved through it, I saw James. If I hadn't have made that choice, if I hadn't have moved through it, I wouldn't have seen the opportunity. It just, you know, as great as he is, I would not have recognized it. I do think that you already know what to do with your business. Back to that key phrase that I used before, when there's confusion, there's a lie, okay? So I think you actually do know what you want to do. You just articulated it. Start moving in that direction. Be the fearless woman that you are, even though you have people relying on you. I get that, okay? And that's sort of like you have to choose what you want. Like, the universe is always asking you, like, what do you really want? Will you accept this over here? Okay, we'll give you this then. Okay. If you say no, I'm going to put a demand on the universe, right? No, this is what I accept. Then I'm not saying that, you know, things fall from the sky miraculously, instantaneously, but you get what you want with persistence, okay? And you'll be so much happier than doing some sort of false, you know, stand-in business for yourself. And one last thing. You said something that I thought was really important, that you don't feel steady. And I don't remember the exact words that you used, but you don't feel steady unless you're building something, unless you're achieving something. Yes, I get it. Big happen. This is a truth. And what if you chose what you were going to build, this live events business, and started building that, but with a quietness that allows space for someone else to join you in it?
Yeah, so I think the limiting belief is, if I go down either business path, picking and go hardcore at it, that it shrinks the space, doesn't give me the freedom to be able to up and go where I want to go, where I want, when I want to go. So obviously, doing what I do now, not easy, but it's easy for me, and I have flexibility and freedom. Like, tomorrow I'll go into Josh Retreat and I'll run clients' calls from there, and then I'm going to Austin, and then I'm speaking in Dallas, and then I'm going to the Indy 500 to sit at the finish line, and then I'm going to Barcelona, and I have, because of the consulting that I do and project-based work, I can do that. So when someone invites me to go, I can go.
Hey, Amira here. Want to know more about what keeps uber successful women from achieving everything they want in life? Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now let's get back to the episode. So why create a business that doesn't suit that? You have all the ability to, right now you haven't created the imagination yet. You haven't like dialed in all the details of it. But why create a live events business that doesn't suit your desire for adventure and freedom?
That's where the soul-sucking search for significance is. It's the thing I really want to do. Like I feel like it is my calling, and I've done it versions of it before. And it's so big and it's so impactful that part of me is like, it's your calling, you have to do this. And the people around me are like, you have to do this. So maybe it's the responsibility of that. And the thing that I really want to do from a impact perspective, then I hear my ex-husband's voice. Only wankers want to be on the stage. Only, like, it's the shooting down of that type of person and kind of where I was going previously. Like, who the fuck do you think you are to do that? Yeah. And it's the poo-pooing, it's the shooting down, it's the leveling of like, who the fuck do you think you are? It's my mother's voice going, you're a megalomaniac, like you're nothing. Like, who are you to, yeah, just if there's any, when I have the accolades and the prestige, whatever, it's the shooting down of that.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, that's the leveling. And so then I think that then runs the line of the marriage counselor saying he just resents your success. And so it feels like it takes some of that stuff for the state, which, you know, there's that dichotomy, because being a coach as well, like, I logically know you can get the thing above and it can be that girl that's the next level up. It's that gap that I talk about. But yeah, maybe that's the centerpiece, that if I go after this and I be this person that I feel like I'm meant to be and can be, then I won't get the relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, why I think I have to get it first, which is a limiting belief, right? We know this is just all bull, but
absolutely. So let's go back to some of the things that your ex-husband and your mother said. They said, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. So who are you? Who's the sweet Jade Green that's not the one on stage or the one that's the life of the party, or like, who are you behind the mask, right? The public persona.
Well, this is where I think the biggest challenge is for me, because there isn't really a mask behind the public persona. And that's why it hurts more, because I I show up as me. And so it is a criticism of me. And this is probably why it feels more risky, and why, because when I am fully in that space, I am fully me. Like, you'll see me sit on a stage, laying down, laughing. Like, it is where I step into who I really am.
So put that in words to me. Who is Jade Green?
Let's see, when I hear that question, I answer with, I'm a soul here having a human experience. Have you read Conversations with Clown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was in a workshop with Neil Donald Walsh, and we had to write our letter to God. And because I've had all this, you should be all the things, but I wrote my letter to God, and I'm like, am I really supposed to step onto the stage and do this? Or is this ego? What is this? And it came back and said, I have to have the light shone on me so that I can shine the light for others.
So why aren't you listening to God?
You've seen behind
Wait. Hold on 1 second. Why are you listening to your ex-husband and your crazy mother and not God? Because that's what you're doing, Jade. It's one thing to get the message, which you received, you heard, you asked, you heard, you got the message. And it's another thing to actually live it. You asked, you got the answer. You got to live it now. What authority are you going to listen to? It's time to stop giving your authority to people who you don't respect. As context, I've heard her describe her mother and her ex-husband, and we won't go into detail on that ad nauseum, but not healthy human beings. So in order to make a change from the intellectual conscious awareness level, you said, I'm a coach, I know these things, right? Like, it's obvious, right? To go from that level to having the experience, you have to become a different person, okay? You can have the intellectual understanding, but until you make a different decision and live differently, which means leaning into faith, into trust, into the unknown, okay? The uncertain areas. Till you do that and live through it, you will continue to be the old Jade Green who gives her power away to people who define her poorly, okay? Mm. Instead of the Jade Green that lets her own divinity define her. And 99% of the world will never follow this advice, Jane, okay? Never. But in order for you to make a fundamental change, get past this, you have to choose in favor of the truth you know to be true. And at several times in this conversation, you have very clearly, and I can feel the difference in the energy when you speak about it, claimed your truth. This is what's true. This is what's true. This is what's true. And the way to actualize that truth is to live it. Now that seems like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? Like, how do I live it if I haven't lived it already? Well, you have to start living it. First, you can live it in your imagination. Then you'll get ideas about different things to do that will land in the lane of this fully actualized woman who's living in her truth. And then you have to do that, okay? You have to say the scary thing, make the scary decision, whatever it is, okay? And then you become that person step by step by living into that. But not by, there's if you're waiting for someone else to give you permission or to say, I am the authority that's greater than you to make this decision, I say, come on already, okay? Mm. You're fucking brilliant. You had a conversation with God. You got the message, okay? Like, it's like, you don't need someone to decide for you. You don't need a pro-con list. You already know. But it's about owning that, truly. How are you doing with that?
Yeah, it's quieting the chatter in terms of believing that it's a calling versus where I've been told it's ego.
What would you say if I asked you never to tell that story again? Like, to yourself, to repeat to others, like, I was told that it, like, wanting this equals this, right? That story. Mm-hmm. What if you just never repeated that? Because when we repeat things, we reinforce them and bring them from the past into the present. Okay? We recondition ourselves to, oh yeah, that. Oh yeah, that. Oh yeah, that. But what if you just stop telling that as part of your, this is my life as Jade Green, okay? You know how they say, like, we create X number of cells every 3 years, or like, right? Like, we regenerate completely. Yeah. Like, if you just stop telling that, you're gonna stop regenerating that story. You're gonna stop defining yourself by that story. Define yourself as who you wanna be. Let me say that differently. Define yourself as who you are, who you know yourself to be. Land there, like, live there. I think you got that. There was like a little energetic shift there. It makes sense what I, that the landing of the, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. I love it. You're welcome. So I'm going to do like a little summary, and then I'm going to ask you for your impressions and your thoughts and what your key takeaways are. Mm-hmm. So we started with this dilemma, like, where do I go with my business? Do I go in this direction or this direction? And we put a pin in that, and we looked at what your true yearnings and desires were. And we saw that it was all connected, okay? That it wasn't separate, that it was the same issue, but we really had to focus over here. Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And you have clarity already on the relationship that you desire and the business that you want. And we talked about leaning into it, imagining it, and letting go of the past conditioning that says, that is not my truth. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's coming up for you?
It's something circling back to you saying, it's the lie that I'm telling that's allowing me to, I think, stay confused. I do know that obviously the partnership is what I really want, but maybe that's the lie I'm telling myself to keep myself safe from stepping into doing what I'm really supposed to do as well. And to, like, that's the thing I'm using as the excuse to not actually commit and do what I'm meant to be fully realized doing. And what I'm hearing from here is that when I step into that, the other will come. And then I'm using that as an excuse.
100%. It's not put my business on hold until I get the relationship. That's bullshit. Okay. No. Mm. But neither is it, don't create a business that I couldn't partner with someone in. Okay. Mm. Okay. It's imagine my whole life exactly how I want it and start creating that. Okay. Mm. The parts will fill in. And I know that you will meet the person you're meant to be with. Right. As you live into this person, he's not magnetized and attracted and vibrating to the Jade Green who's showing up confused right now. Okay.
Well, the part of the story that I may not have told you is I may have already met him. I am dating someone, but there's, yeah. And
let me say it differently. So yes. It's super clear. The partnership, the love of your life, the forever, whatever that is going to match when you step into the truth of who you are, which means stepping out of the confusion and owning what you really want. When you own what you really want and you don't deflect it and you don't say, well, maybe I do this for a little bit or that or whatever, or like get into the spin. Mm. When you really own it, either this man that you're dating or a different man will step up and match you at that level. Okay. Mm. But it's a different level than where you're vibrating at right now. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What you want is here, where you are is here. If you're listening via audio, I'm showing a vertical gap. Okay. And you need to get on the vibration of the life, the exquisite life that you desire. And you know who that woman is. You tap into her so quickly. Just do more of that and let go of any, like, when you feel yourself in that confusion, in that spin, just pause and go, wait a second. That's not my truth. That's not true. That's not who I am. Who am I? Come right back. Do that again and again and again. You'll step out of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you feel the difference? Can you feel that? Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Good. For those who
those who can't see me, the grounded. Yeah.
What did you say? That for those who can't see you, what?
The regrounding, the body language shift.
Yeah. Yeah. I just know that absolutely, Jade, like without a doubt. Okay. That next level of grounded power, that captivating power that you have inside of you, when you ground into that, when you own it, when you really truly own it, it's magnetizing. And but you have to do that at a different level than the place that you're playing at right now. Okay. Yeah. And you have to believe that you're worthy of it too. Okay. And that's not just an intellectual concept. It's a lived experience of it. It's an embodiment of it. And that is in those moments when you're in the either you're remembering an old story or something's popping in. It's like, actually, this is who I am. Okay. It's a claiming of it in that moment. I love it. Any last thoughts before we wrap up?
I think just the last thoughts to reiterate for the audience is, for me, it's a remembering, but probably the thing that I think would have the most impact on your audience as well is that making the unfamiliar familiar, the really thinking through in vivid color and seeing the detail so that you can program the RAS to look and hear and realize the opportunities that are there that we sometimes have our blinkers on and closed to. So I think that process you gave of, it was a different language. Well, can you give me that language again about the
procedural memory
or the...
Yeah, I use a couple of different ways of talking about this. So I think procedural memory is really interesting. Usually it's used as a way to build a new habit. Like if I want to start being a runner, okay, the night before I'm going to take my shoes out, put my running clothes down, I'm going to set my alarm, I'm going to wake up at such a, I'm going to drink that glass of water, then I'm going to get my clothes on, I'm going to grab the dog, I'm going to go down this path, I'm going to make sure that like I have my jacket with the fluorescent glow on, like you're checking all the boxes, right? And it's procedural, right? It's one thing after another. Mm-hmm. It's an order, and you lock in the whole procedure, not just the, oh, I went for a run. Great. Okay. Yeah. You lock in the steps that got you there. So
the sequence,
you're sequencing it for your brain. Now the challenge here is that when we're manifesting, God knows how this is going to come through, right? You cannot sequence every last little detail. Okay. But you can sequence how you're showing up in this world. Okay. So I get up in the morning. Every morning I meditate and I call in my vision of my live events business and my man and whatever it is, right? You do that. Then I do this. Then I live like this. When I work in my business, here's how I'm living. Here's my truth. Here's how I am on stage, right? This is how it, right? And you can do little snippets of like, this is the procedure. This is what I'm doing. And you lock that in. And then your brain's like, oh yeah, this is what we do. Okay. So you can lock in the imagination side of it, and you can lock in how you're living your life also. Okay. And then I also use the expression, and I just touched on this, I didn't really go into it in much detail, but the lived imagination or living imagination, right? Like it's like playing out that whole movie of the kind of life. And we do this all the time. We fantasize all the time. Like this is the life that I'm living. These are the little snapshots of what I'm desiring. So play that out as well.
Beautiful.
Good. Well, thank you so much, Jade, for bringing this to the table. I love talking about relationships. This is just the tip of the iceberg, but I think we covered quite a lot today, actually. So I'm appreciative of you bringing your truth and not holding back and not just forcing us to talk about this other thing that's not really the key thing. I appreciate that so very, very much.
So much easier just to talk about the business, right? Like just
right.
Talk about the business problems and the limiting beliefs I have in making more money, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So, and you know, we could talk about that too. Like I love talking business, right? But this is like one of the things that's really like, it's a value. It's a, like, I can't not do this. And so sometimes it's challenging. If I see that there's a bigger issue or a different issue, like I'm not going to waste anyone's time talking about the thing that's not the real issue, as far as, you know, my perspective. So where can people find you if they want to follow your journey and learn about your lived experience, your live events or your business consulting that you're currently doing? How do they find Jade Green?
Probably the best way to follow my journey and sort of get exposure to what I'm doing on a daily, weekly basis is actually LinkedIn. So, but my handle is the same there, and it's also my website as well. So THE Jade Green. So if you go to LinkedIn, you look up the / that. My website is also that, and it will lead you to the company site as well. But that's where I'm sharing, like every Wednesday, I'm pushing myself to put out there. If you really knew me, you would know story where I'm sharing the inside of me and also how that compounds and can affect people that are business leaders and running companies as well from a lived experience.
I love it. So everyone go check her out on LinkedIn, and we'll put her link to LinkedIn in the show notes as well. Thank you again, Jade, for doing this. I am so grateful for that. And for those of you listening, please let us know what you think of this episode. Do you relate to it? Have you come across the same sort of blocks and issues? Please comment wherever you're listening to this. I read all the comments and I'm grateful for them. And if you loved this episode and wanted to share it with a friend who you think it might help, we would be grateful for you to share the podcast and give it more exposure. So thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode. I'm Amira Alvarez. I am the founder and CEO of The Unstoppable Woman, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye. Most ambitious women I work with already have good lives, possibly even great. But there's often this one area that is fine as is, but not yet exquisite. And yet, when we unlock that one area, they access a whole new level. I want to personally invite you to book a complimentary call with me and discover what that unlock could do for you. These calls are for women who have done at least $1 million or more in their business or executive career and are ready for an exquisite life inside and out. You can book our conversation at theunstoppablewoman.com/connect.